All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Builder Series. This is Sam Seeley, and today I've got Darren Carvalho of MetaWealth. MetaWealth is a Web3 investment platform that offers fractional ownership of real estate assets. The platform leverages blockchain technology to tokenize real estate, making the investment process more transparent, secure, and efficient. To talk about this and exactly how they also bring in USDC and our Web3 services to make this an easy tool for everyone to use is Darren. Darren, how are you today? Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Sam. Doing good. Very excited to be here and talk about everything that's going on in our ecosystem.
All right. Well, look, why don't we just start off a little bit? Can you describe in your own words MetaWealth?
Yeah, sure. Like the way I kind of put it is at MetaWealth, what we do is we take institutional grade real estate assets. So we don't take things that are like maybe one house, one apartment, one of anything. We'll take something much larger that, you know, an institution would actually target in their own investment processes. So we'll take like a apartment building, a strip mall, office space, hotel space, things like that, tokenize it, and then sell it on our mobile and web app to different target markets. So we sell to institutions, family offices, multifamily offices, the Web3 crowd, the mass market. And we do this all in minutes. So someone can get involved where, you know, they don't have to do the legal paperwork, the finance, the money movement, the signing of the notaries, like all that normal stuff that happened in the old real estate world is basically handled by our platform. And, you know, you get things done super quick. And I think that's really the power of the blockchain, right? At the end of the day.
Man, listen, this is really exciting to me. For a lot of people that have been following me know, I've been doing real estate. I did real estate, I should say, for 20 years. And I focused on the investment side of things. And so what you're describing seems almost impossible. So I can't wait to dive into the details. I'm curious to know, you know, how did you really get inspired to build this? And maybe some like real life situations that brought upon the birth of MetaWealth.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of said it, right? It's like we're not escaping any work here, right? The work still exists. We're just happy to basically take that off of our investors' hands or our users' hands and put that onto ourselves. And we just wrap it up in a nice little bow and kind of hand it to our users, right? So that's like, I mean, if like people take that away from what MetaWealth is doing, then I think that's a beautiful thing that we were able to, you know, make the process so much less friction in the process. And that's like kind of what our mission is at MetaWealth.
How, like, what situation inspired the build, like the envision to build this? Like, was there a particular scenario? I mean, maybe you could just go, you know, segue into that aspect.
Yeah. So I guess like the origination from the idea really came through all of the founders kind of experiencing the same thing, some in different levels. So we do have like a deep founding team that has very, like a lot of experience in real estate itself, in tech, and then general finance. But from my own example, I had, you know, a pretty good job in finance, making quite a good amount of money. I had some dry powder on the side. I would, you know, invest in stocks, invest in different investment vehicles that through my brokerage account. But people always told me, like, you know, for generational wealth and for getting diversified assets into your portfolio, you should definitely look into real estate. So I started to do some research. I hired a kind of like a broker on the side, say, hey, can you like put together some sort of deal or some sort of roadshow where I can go and see a couple assets, like see what's this all about. So he was saying, okay, like, do you want to do commercial? Do you want to do, you know, rental properties? Do you want to do apartments? Do you want to do houses? Do you want to do multifamily? Are you able to renovate? Like all of these different things he was throwing it at me. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like I am a tech guy. Like, don't ask me what to do with real estate. I just want to, you know, benefit from yields and make sure that like I can pass this on to my kids or something like that. That's what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking about like all these different things. So we went through that whole process and then it just kept piling on. So now all of a sudden I'm originally from Toronto and that's kind of where I was looking at property where the average house in Toronto is over $1 million now. So a down payment on that is 200 grand. And that's for, you know, the most average thing you can find, not even a good piece of real estate. Then you're talking about like getting the finances in order, connecting with the lawyers. How do you do the notaries? How do you like just, you know, this whole process just got super complex. And at the end of the day, I just said, like, forget it. I'm going to get lost in the trap here somewhere. And there's too much risk. Even though over 1,000 years, real estate is probably the highest performing asset class ever, right? So me even saying that, someone that like knows about investing, knows about all these things, I was like, damn, if I'm having these problems, I can imagine that the bulk of the population is having these problems. And we did a little bit of research and we found out that 72% of people actually want to invest in real estate, but don't because they don't have the time, capital, or resources to do so. So that's kind of where, you know, us as founders came together. And then we said, okay, this is the problem. How do we solve it? And that's when the ball started rolling in terms of like, what technology do we need? What processes do we need in place in terms of real estate? What is good real estate? What is good infrastructure? All of these things kind of started rolling right from that original idea.
Interesting. So, you know, when I think about this, right, you know, and I know a lot of people probably have the same sort of question. Tokenized real estate, exactly what does that mean? How do you connect the world of digital and real physical real estate onto a platform? Can you describe that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the easiest question that, like, you know, people would get right away, right? So like you said, tokenized real estate, what the hell is that? On our side, like we do our best to kind of abstract that layer for our users. So underneath our tokenized real estate right now is actually a financial security. And that's what we're tokenizing. And that's what people are actually investing in, right? So from a legal point of view, even when our users, you know, click the buy button on the MetaWealth app, and now they're landlords, essentially, at the end of the day, we do have an ownership center within the app, which actually shows that, you know, financial security that you signed and shows your ownership into that specific SPV that holds the asset, right? So that's kind of like, you know, at a high level, how we're doing it right now. We do have a very robust roadmap with how we see tokenized real estate going broadly, especially when you're talking about how do institutions get involved, the different banking licenses that we're going after, the legal structure behind the scenes actually changes quite a bit. So our phase two is we're actually going after a DLT license, which is essentially a banking license. This would enable us to actually offer security tokens against our tokenized real estate. So that's when we're getting a little bit closer. Step three is really when we get into the DeFi world, where something like maybe the land registry is actually tokenized and no longer is there any paperwork in between the government land book and the actual investor. And that's where things get super interesting because then you're overlying DeFi products on top of essentially these real estate tokens. So there's a lot of, you know, we're just like right at the very infancy stage. We haven't even left the womb of what we're kind of doing here, but it's all about foundation, right? And we're building a very, very strong foundation with a lot of traction. And we're just happy to have all our users on the ride with us.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Let's talk a little bit more about the tech. So what blockchain is MetaWealth built on top of, out of curiosity?
Yeah. So we started off with Ethereum. We started off for, you know, high level, a couple of reasons. Security, it was one of the best at the time. We started the project in 2022. So at the time, like that was kind of the chain that was receiving the most amount of support from a security point of view. And on our side, like, you know, we're kind of a Web 2.5 company, right? We're in between Web 2 and Web 3. We have a lot of people who don't really understand the whole blockchain like space. They don't understand what multi-chain is. They don't understand maybe anything beyond like Bitcoin and Ethereum, right? So we definitely don't want to be like messing around with people's money or like taking big risks, even from a technology point of view. And then of course, like we had some available protocols that were already in development by the Ethereum Foundation, such as like ERC-20 or things like that, which we were using to tokenize. And then earlier this year, it became apparent that we needed to find a better solution. Ethereum is very expensive. The community is, though it's a great, great community, but like for what we're trying to do, it would be nice to get some more retail players in there. So now we're migrating with Solana. Basically what we get is we get a really vibrant community. We get a ton of support from the Solana Foundation. Our transaction times are, you know, seconds now compared to what Ethereum was. Transaction costs are pennies on the dollar for what we were paying with Ethereum. And we're all like, it's just like that retail vibe that we want to help, like what our true mission is. We want to help the guy, like even me in the past, or someone who didn't even have like close to like the kind of money that I was wanting to invest into real estate, maybe $100. We want to help them actually enter the property ladder. Because I think the property ladder is actually getting out of reach for all of the average user, right? So that's kind of like where we're at with our technical journey. And then obviously, like as a backbone, when we started the company, USDC has always been like, you know, the engine that runs, right? We did do several like large research papers on what stablecoin we're going to use. We even could, like at the beginning, we were like, should this be on like just with BTC or ETH, or what should it be like running on? And it became very clear, very apparent that you know, from a user point of view, from a security point of view, from a regulatory point of view, from a like an understanding point of view, that USDC was the clear choice for us. And we've never really swayed off of that. So we've never looked to other stable coins or anything like that, because our mission falls in line with Circle's missions in several ways. You know, an easy one just to pick off the top is like, we're not afraid of regulation, or we're not afraid of compliance and that kind of stuff, right? So we know that Circle is kind of playing in those same realms, whereas we know that maybe Circle's competitors are not playing in the exact same court, right? So it's kind of like a mixed bag in terms of like all the technologies we use. But you can be rest assured that a lot of thought goes into how we do it, how we stitch things together. And we do have a very, very experienced founding team and also greater engineering team that makes it all stack together.
I love everything you just said. Everything you just said, I love it. And I approve it. One of the things that helps to segue into, if you talk about technology, is, as you mentioned, the significance of USDC. MetaWealth, in many ways, is really bridging that gap between the traditional Web 2 world and a lot of the emerging tech that we see in Web 3. It kind of makes me think back to in the beginning, right, of the internet. You had internet companies versus non-internet companies. Well, every company eventually has a website now, has an app, et cetera. Yep. And in many ways, I feel like this is what's going to happen with the technology that we're discussing right now. I'm curious, you know, what was that experience like? You know, you said you did papers and really researched hard on this. Tell us about that relationship with Circle. I know we have a great engineering team, BD team, et cetera, that helped to make this a very easy decision for you and your team.
Yeah. So I think like, at least when we were choosing USDC, we had no connections in the space. Well, virtually none. Amr and myself, we went to University of Toronto Computer Science. That's where we met like 12, 13 years ago. And we had like a Bitcoin miner come in and give a presentation to us in 2011. So we kind of understood, or 2012, but we kind of understood the space for a long time, but we weren't necessarily like building in the space. We knew like what was going on. We knew that kind of stuff. So, you know, take it forward to 2022, when we were looking into like, you know, what technology we're going to use as our currency, it really came down to the documentation, I think. Documentation first and foremost, at least. So the way that Circle presented themselves, the way that Circle is very open and transparent, which leads into, I guess, the second point is that how Circle actually integrates with regulators, is with the big banks, is like, you know, custody with BNY Mellon, you know, BlackRock as an asset manager. You know, I was originally a TradFi guy myself. These are things that I want to hear, right? Especially my name on the line, I'm putting the company on the line, I'm putting like our processes on the line, I'm putting our investors on the line. There's so many things that like need to be in place where, you know, the core currency that the system's using, if that's not secure, we don't have a business, right? It's as simple as that. So that's kind of why it made it a quite an easy decision for us.
Very neat, very neat. As we go a little further, I know that MetaWealth isn't just stopping with USDC. Programmable wallets is something that we've rolled out recently and also expanded to the Solana blockchain infrastructure. Talk to us a little bit on MetaWealth's kind of vision around programmable wallets and integration into the future, and how you see that as really helping you expand your global reach.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just to knock the easy one off the top, if we're built on USDC, I think it only makes sense to use natively available products, right? That's a kind of an easy one. But beyond that, I think let's take it back to what I was saying before. If we're a Web 2.5 company, you know, we have a lot of Web 2 users specifically. These users, they don't understand like, how do I, you know, set up my keys? How do I set up my wallet? How do I integrate it with MetaWealth? How do I connect things together? How do I interact with a wallet broadly, right? So on our side, like we take a really, really passionate approach to how we put together our UI. And Amr has a lot of experience like building Wealthsimple, which is Canada's largest unicorn, specifically in the wealth management space. So that kind of helped us a lot understand what does a customer need when onboarding to the MetaWealth platform, and what's going to be the friction points. And we definitely didn't want a friction point to be connecting a wallet. You sign up to the MetaWealth app, go make a wallet and then connect it. Like it just would never work. So on our side, we basically overlay our own UI and UX on top of all of this technical infrastructure. And we make it super easy to like send USDC or deposit USDC or deposit fiat. And it's all behind the scene, abstracted away from the users in terms of the technicalities. So then API integration is key for us. obviously the multi-chain support. So, you know, we are maintaining Ethereum. We don't have plans to shut it down or anything like that. And on the Solana side, like that's where we see the bulk of our volume coming from. So that's another like tick mark for USDC or the Circle programmable wallet. And then it also came down to like security and compliance, right? So we know that USDC is now MiCA compliant. When we go after our DLT license, like this is a very important part for us as well. And we want to be, you know, aligned with a company who's providing some third-party services to us, underlying infrastructure, to have the same values as us, right? A previous wallet provider that we were using, you know, they took away some features and it made it harder for us to actually work with them, especially considering that, you know, security is very important to us. We need you to handle certain things, SLAs and all the rest. So it was a misalignment of visions, I guess you could say. And we, you know, made the move to Circle programmable wallets. But yeah, those are kind of like the high level reasons.
Incredible. And I think about what you just, you know, talked about. And I think something that I enjoy working at Circle is the emphasis that our leadership puts on feedback. You know, we want to talk to all of our developers, all of our companies, and make decisions that are in line and in step with only making it easier. So I'm glad to hear that feedback from you here live. That's incredible. That's incredible. So I wanted to go back a little further. So describe, if you can, maybe a little bit more of what the user experience is now. So utilizing USDC, programmable wallets in the background, blockchain technology in the backgrounds. Yeah. What are the average user able to do now on your platform?
Yeah, so we have a couple different of like, I guess, front-facing experiences that the users. The first one we kind of came out with was the mobile app. And then the secondly, we came out with the web app. So the mobile app is simple. Basically, you know, you download the app from the app store. You sign up with your email, your passwords, your onboarding forms. And then we kind of take you through a little bit of a tour of the app. And in the background, at the same time, your wallet is set up, you know, the assets are available to view. And that's where the user kicks off, right? So they can start viewing properties, they can start viewing DD materials, due diligence materials, such as, you know, the Colliers valuation reports or the investment projections or market overviews. They can see all of the different asset classes or countries they're able to invest in. Then it would take them to a process where they would have to actually deposit either USDC from another wallet, or they could use one of our on-ramping partners right within the app. So still within this, what we call the portfolio tab, and basically on-ramp some money there using either bank wire cards, whatever is like allowed by the jurisdiction. And that include obviously a tiered KYC process as well. So we're definitely that kind of compliance and regulatory framework where, you know, depending on the ticket size of how an investor wants to participate, they'll have to do a certain level of KYC because we're, at the end of the day, we're selling a financial instrument, right? So we can't miss a beat on that one.
Darren, can I pause you there? So
sure.
You all are actually enabling USDC on-ramping directly inside the application?
So that's actually coming up. So we're right now in the process of opening up our Circle Mint account, where basically we would be able to mint USDC for our users, especially for our high ticket users. Like this would save a lot of fees. But right now we're using an on-ramping partner, which essentially, yes, you can right within the app, use your credit card or bank wire, where you transfer the money to Transact is what we're using primarily right now. Transact converts to USDC and USDC comes to your wallet immediately.
Kind of a shout out there to another Circle product that's integrated into MetaWealth, very Circle Mint account. That's super exciting to hear, man. It's great to talk to developers out there that are building these products and integrating so many of our features. I'm going to have to make sure I get you like some Circle swag after this call
we're turning a Circle company, that's for sure.
Hey, no, that is be here. Any timeline you're expecting on the Circle Mint integration?
Yeah, so we're going through the process right now, and Sunil Sharma has actually been very critical on this process with us and with the application. I think it's estimated around 1 to 2 months to actually finish the application. It's not light. It's a lot of regulatory due diligence to be done, but it'll be a matter of technical integration, which should be, you know, maybe a month after that or something.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Very exciting. You know what? This has been a great call. I'm curious to wrap this up. You know, what is the future vision that you see, not only with MetaWealth, but, you know, tokenized investing, you know, investment in real world assets altogether?
Yeah, I mean, it's a booming space, right? I think like within Web3 right now, I would say it's one of like maybe, I don't know, the top 3 or 5 hottest areas of Web3, tokenized assets. And we're big believers in, you know, effective or efficient asset allocation. So we're one player. Our real estate, tokenized real estate is one piece of the pie. We kind of proclaim that, you know, 20 to 40 net worth should be stored into real estate. Like that's something we think is fair. But what do you do with the other 60 to 80%, right? We're saying tokenized T-bills, tokenized bonds, tokenized wine or watches or luxury goods or whatever. These are all great things that we're bringing together. And, you know, that's one mission we have. Another mission that we have at MetaWealth is we want all our investors to be, you know, have the easiest to these different asset classes. So we are pushing forward on that. And then in terms of tokenized real estate, I think, like I said, like this is just the foundation of what we're building here. This is not even close to the end game product. Our roadmap is like, you know, there's, I think there's 60, 70 items on there right now for the next 5 years. And it's all about, you know, the more interesting, first of all, TradFi products like collateralization, token-backed loans, token mortgages, token insurance, things that you could probably get a mortgage on a house right now. We need to bring that to the, we need to bring that on chain. And then past that, we want to overlay actual DeFi native products on top of tokenized real estate. So liquidity pools, staking, emissions. Imagine like if you could stake your house and get some sort of emission out of that today, like that would be pretty crazy. And that's what we want to bring to, you know, the real estate that we have on our platform.
I love it. I love it. You know, I came into this space for equitable access to the financial system. And yep. I came to Circle because that was literally their mission statement, like to yep. the word. And hearing this, you know, I know from experience, investing in real estate is a clunky, scary, complicated, time-consuming, hectic, headache-creating to do, right?
You said it, not me.
I did it. I was a broker. Yeah. I owned a management company. I've done every single sort of investing you can imagine. And so I do know from hardcore experience how difficult. And so super exciting, you know, this technology being leveraged by your company, open up the doors, you know, easy access, diversify one's investment portfolio. I really want to thank you, Darren, for your, before we leave, for those that want to get involved, want to learn more, MetaWealth, they want to go ahead and sign up themselves. What's the best way for them to do this?
Yeah, so I think the App Store is a really good place to start. So it's just MetaWealth on the App Store. Our website will lead you to the web app as well. So it's MetaWealth. And obviously all the socials, it's just basically MetaWealth everywhere.
Awesome, awesome. And this is geo-restricted on the App Store. So what geo can you access this?
Yeah, right. Focused on Europe. It's UK, Switzerland, and all the EU countries. And then we do have Canadians available to download the app as well.
Incredible, incredible. Darren, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. I can't wait to learn more and just see this company grow. I'm really rooting for you. Yeah, to everyone watching, once again, this is Sam Seeley. Hope you enjoyed this chat. Definitely check out MetaWealth yourself. Let me know what you think. For those out there that are builders, I hope this inspires you to maybe open your eyes to a couple other opportunities out there. To everyone, have a great night. Goodbye.
Thank you.